Jay Sekulow, a government report says the U.S. fight against the Islamic State disorganized and incoherent.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Up to 200 people have been killed in battles between Islamic State and Libyan militia in the coastal city of Sirte. Libya is urging Arabic countries to intervene with airstrikes. The Arab League has called for an emergency meeting on Tuesday. The oil-rich port of Sirte is reportedly in ISIL's full control. The spike in violence comes after Libyan militia tried to retake Sirte from Islamic State, but ISIL pushed them back and then reportedly beheaded 12 people before hanging them on crosses.
We want Jason released. We believe all Americans should be released now. And while the White House and the U.S. government have said a lot publicly about these Americans, we think it helps when they say more, and we'd like to hear that as often as possible.
Well, we've reported many times on how ISIS rapes and sells girls into slavery, and now the terror group is calling rape of non-Muslim an Islamic religious practice. Islamic State has kidnapped thousands of Yazidi and Christian girls and sold them to their jihadis. Now, one Jewish man from Canada is on a mission to rescue as many girls as he can. During the past 8 months, it has rescued at least 128 female slaves, including one young child.
It's a 9-year-old girl that suffered such a brutal level of rape that her internals were beyond fixing from the outside access. With the help of Ken and Andrew White, God bless him and God help him in what he's doing, we succeeded at having this girl transported to the UK.
The girl is now recovering after successful surgery.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. So the Congressional Research Office is calling the U.S.-led fight against the Islamic State lacking coherence and is often operated in a disorganized fashion, harming efforts to effectively combat the terrorist force. The CRS concluded in its analysis that the effort, dubbed Operation Inherent Resolve, is being led in a haphazard manner that leads to inefficient military action by the countries involved. And let me read you a quote from the report. Without a single authority responsible for prioritizing and adjudicating different multinational civilian and military lines of effort, different actors often work at cross purposes without intending to do so. Complete disorganization. And at the same time, and this is what is so troubling, the Islamic State has captured another up to 200 Christians, selling the women and children into slavery, beheading the men, putting them on crosses. And the Islamic State takes hold in Libya, controlling more oil. And the Obama administration's policies and practices doing nothing to stop this, leading from behind, not working. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Your thoughts about those being persecuted for their faith, the lack of coherence from the Obama administration, what's motivating that? That's what I want to get behind. Take your phone calls at 800-684-3110, and people can also talk to us via Periscope, Facebook, and Twitter.
That's right. You can join us on Facebook Mentions. All you have to do is go to Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow or go to Jay Sekulow's page if you like it already. And you can see that we're broadcasting live right now around the world. Had someone just check in from their hotel in Beijing.
Great.
And people are watching literally all over the world. You can also watch us via Periscope. If you have the Periscope app, follow Jay Sekulow. And you can see we're broadcasting there live. Comment and put your questions in. We'll be happy to take them on the air. But of course, you can call in 1-800-684-3110.
Jordan, give me a 15-20-second summary here. The very critical report from the CRS on the president's plan, this is creating an international problem and Christians are at risk.
And really the lack of a cohesive plan and a full plan to destroy the Islamic State. And you're seeing this out of a nonpartisan report. The Congressional Research Service works with Congress, works part of the Library of Congress, does research. This report got released by an outside group, and it shows that lack of a strategy to destroy ISIS.
Well, we've got a petition up right now, and it's the first one that's this direct, and it is now we must do everything we can to stop ISIS's genocide of Christians. And that means full action, whatever is necessary. Join us in this fight at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And that means you stop funding jihadist nations and start aiding persecuted Christians. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Sign that petition now. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
Bye.
ISIS, the Islamic State, is brutal beyond words. It's beheading, raping, and selling Christians. Hundreds of thousands of Christians have been forced to flee or die, to abandon their lives or allow their children to be sold as sex slaves. For more than a year now, the Islamic State's jihadist army has been on a bloody rampage, profiting from genocide and tracking down Christians for sale and slaughter. ISIS kidnaps Christians and massacres them. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've been aggressively working in Congress and through our global offices, including in the region, to defend persecuted Christians. We're leading the charge. Send a powerful message to the President and Congress. Stop the genocide of Christians. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now. Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Questions via Facebook, questions via Periscope as well. And we're encouraged to have and thrilled to have with us Catherine Herod. She is an award-winning journalist, chief intelligence correspondent for Fox News, brilliant on these topics. Catherine, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start with, I want to talk about ISIS, but I want to talk about the situation, the latest on the Hillary Clinton emails. We wake up this morning to find the news and heard a little bit last night, and you've been reporting on this, that the server was actually maintained by this small mom-and-pop company in a restroom, a bathroom, I guess, of a residential apartment building. What's the latest on this?
Well, increasingly what we've seen through our reporting is that there does appear to be a clear violation of what's called 18 U.S. Code 1924. This is the unauthorized removal and retention of classified information. So this would apply to the storage of the server as well as the thumb drives that were maintained by Mrs. Clinton's personal attorney, David Kendall. I'd also emphasize that we're seeing what's described in the intelligence community as significant spillage. That means that this classified information was not limited in its distribution, but actually had a far wider distribution. And if you recall in the Petraeus case, there were only two individuals who ever had access to that classified information, and the FBI found no evidence that it was ever transmitted electronically. But that is not the case with the Clinton emails. We now know there were three thumb drives with copies of the emails, the server, and then a whole universe of individuals who had access to that hardware. So it's almost at this point, Jay, unknowable how much spillage or how far that classified information went once it was outside of the system.
You know, a lot of people, Catherine, have been looking at this from the political perspective. We've been discussing it from the national security perspective. You've covered every major national security issue, certainly in the last 15, 20 years. How big of an issue could this be? I mean, we don't know the scope of it yet, but what are we seeing, what you're seeing so far, based on the information you just shared? How big of a national security breach could this be?
I think it's a very significant national security breach because on top of what we've just described as the spillage, so multiple copies being made of the emails, a universe of individuals with potential access, and it's not clear whether all the individuals, if any, at this server company in Colorado has sufficient clearance to be holding that material, is also, and this is what I think you want to watch going forward, how many devices were being used by Mrs. Clinton and her circle of associates, and how many of those devices were certified as secured? That's a very technical term, but what it means is that if you're working within the government and you want to use an iPad or a BlackBerry, you have to go to your department and they have to say, yes, this is certified secure or it's safe. We understand in our reporting that Mrs. Clinton wanted to use her iPad. Efforts were made to see whether it could be certified as secure, and she was told that it could not be, but she went ahead and used that iPad nonetheless. Using an iPad like that is, in effect, a very open system and making it available potentially to foreign intelligence services. And I think that is the other shoe that's ultimately going to drop in this case.
Well, the ramifications of that would be very, very significant, both national security and politically. Jordan, I know you've got a question for Catherine as well.
That's right. Some of this is the timing, how long this will take. And as people, as reporters are looking into this and researching this, that, you know, and the new reports of over 300 emails that are being looked at and new servers being discussed and new locations. What is the timing of an investigation like this? Obviously, because of there's some real political ramifications here, because former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's running for president.
I think things, in fact, move very quickly now that Mrs. Clinton and her lawyer no longer have physical custody of the server and also the thumb drives. I was able to confirm through my reporting that the FBI has begun its review of the server and the thumb drives. They've determined on the thumb drives that they do not contain a complete backup of what was on the server, just what she did not purge. But there is some optimism within the intelligence community that many of the deleted emails can be recovered. And the copies that are in the possession of the FBI right now are digital copies. There's a lot of metadata embedded in those emails, you know, who was copied on them,
right,
who they came from, who they were forwarded to. So the FBI is able to really create a link analysis chart, sort of a huge mosaic or graphic of the workflow of these emails, and it will be, it should be fairly easy to see who transferred the classified out of that secure system and into the unclassified system. And I just recently learned, and I think this is very significant, if you can bear with me.
Yeah.
The Clinton and the State Department spokespeople have made a lot of the fact that the material was not marked as classified. I believe I now understand why that is. The first five emails that were identified as classified by the inspector general, none of them had the appropriate markings, but that was because the individual had either paraphrased the information from a classified report or had pulled direct quotes. They never forwarded the classified document. That is why the markings are not there. That is such an egregious violation of the rules. So the explanation that it had no markings, that's because the individual circumvented the rules in the system to get that classified information into an unclassified system.
Yep. One last question, real
sure,
quick.
Sure, we got a question from Facebook. Debbie from Facebook asked, why has their server not seized right away?
Yeah, why didn't they grab it immediately?
Well, you know, I can't really answer that question except to say that I have not spoken to any national security defense attorney or someone who's been prosecuted for national security in the last month who has understood why there was such a lag, because in almost every case, when there's any question over classified information being on someone's computer or in their possession when it should not be, I mean, the FBI or the marshals show up with a warrant and they seize it. I mean, that's the imperative.
And unbelievable here.
That is one of the lingering questions that Director Comey is going to have to answer, why there was what critics say is preferential treatment and a delay of several weeks, because you don't get to make up the rules for how classified information is protected. It's codified.
Right.
It's set out in government regulations, and that was not followed.
It was not. Catherine, we appreciate it. Catherine Herridge from Fox News, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Thanks, Catherine. Very good. All right, we're going to take some phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We broke into that. We're talking about the whole situation also with ISIS. We didn't have time to address that with Catherine Herridge. You got some breaking news on the on the situation with the Clinton emails. Unbelievable. Let's take some phone calls and get some comments coming in. By the way, Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends. Let's get the conversation going, and we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Sure, let's go to the phones first. Imad from California is calling on line one.
Imad, go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
I just wanted to share some of my thoughts. Again, my name is Imad. I'm a deacon at St. Mark Coptic Orthodox Church.
So you're a Coptic Christian?
I am.
Yes, great.
I am. And, you know, I wanted to share some of my thoughts, especially with what's been happening, you know, lately, a couple of months back, you know, with all the Egyptian persecutions and all the bloodshed that's been happening and nothing has been done about it. And I think our voices definitely need to be heard. And thanks for stations like you that spread the word out and, you know, raise awareness and make everybody know that this is just, you know, the blood of all our brethren is just not going to waste. And it's very sorry right here and saddens my heart just to see, you know, hundreds and hundreds of families that come to the United States every day. You know, I even remember my parents brought us when we were so young.
Well, Imad, I appreciate you calling in. You know, Jordan, you've done a lot of work with the Coptic Christian community, and they are feeling the brunt of some of this persecution in incredible numbers. I mean, the 200 of them, 200 Christians, probably Coptic or Orthodox, were killed in the last 5 days by the Iraq Islamic State, and this is ongoing.
Yeah, that's right. The persecution is on the uptick once again from the Islamic State, and we've seen that these Orthodox Christian communities, some of the original churches since the times of Christ that have been under assault by the Islamic State to destroy the churches, to destroy church artifacts, and to kill church members. And as you reported, we've seen that uptick. This focused on Assyrian church members, nearly 200 who were killed in just the past week.
I'm reading from the Congressional Research Services report. They say these coalition-coordinated challenges were demonstrated in recent military campaigns, exasperating matters. Other actors in the region, some of whom are coalition partners, have different and often conflicting longer-term regional geopolitical interests than those of the United States or other coalition members. The president is not leading, even from behind. And you know who's feeling the brunt of it? Christians in the region. We need to do is take action, folks. We've got a petition up right now, brand new, petition to stop ISIS genocide of Christians. Stop funding jihadist nations and start aiding persecuted Christians. Support our allies in the fight against ISIS before more Christians are beheaded or exterminated. Add your name to this petition right now at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And also, Logan, we'll be taking comments coming in from Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. If you have a comment, get it into us now. The phone lines are jammed right now. But if you want a question or comment on the air, just do it. Follow at Jay Sekulow on Twitter. You can go on Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Or also right now on Facebook, facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. Interact during the break. Right now, be a part of the show.
ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. My heart is crying. Deep
beneath our voices. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. ISIS, the Islamic State, is brutal beyond words. It's beheading, raping, and selling Christians. Hundreds of thousands of Christians have been forced to flee or die, to abandon their lives or allow their children to be sold as sex slaves. For more than a year now, the Islamic State's jihadist army has been on a bloody rampage, profiting from genocide and tracking down Christians for sale and slaughter. ISIS kidnaps Christians and massacres them. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've been aggressively working in Congress and through our global offices, including in the region, to defend persecuted Christians. We're leading the charge. Send a powerful message to the President and Congress. Stop the genocide of Christians. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
90 Christians captured, many killed, beheaded, and crucified last week in Syria. Now Libya under attack by the Islamic State, including more oil resources. We have a petition up to say stop the ISIS genocide of Christians. This is unbelievable targeted discrimination and murder and beheadings of Christians. I mean, it's unreal. So we want to stop funding jihadist nations and start aiding persecuted Christians. And according to the Congressional Research Service, we better get a coherent military strategy in place because right now we don't have one. So we want you to sign this petition. You could do it at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And let me urge everybody that's listening to the broadcast to sign. It's a brand new petition. We want to get this to Congress as soon as they come back. We need to protect Christians being slaughtered in the Middle East. We have an office in Jerusalem that does work throughout the Middle East. We've got offices in Pakistan. We're engaged in all of these areas. But we need your help right now in Washington. The lack of leadership, the lack of, as the Congressional Research said, a coherent plan is creating a disaster. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Chris is calling from California. Chris, welcome
Hi, Chris.
To Jay Psychia Live.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, is there any way that we can take Hillary Clinton and President Obama and throw them in federal jail?
No. You know what? Here's the Chris, I mean, I don't know what the impact's going to be on Hillary Clinton legally. We just heard from Catherine Herridge on that. I think there's some very – I mean, she raised – Jordan, she raised some really serious potential legal problems for Hillary Clinton. I mean, and her staff.
That's right. And the whole Clinton team, and these are people that are still surrounding the former Secretary of State, now presidential candidate. These are legal problems, criminal violations that carry – prison sentences that carry huge fines. Some are misdemeanors, some are felonies, and so some are prison sentence for longer than a year, up to 10 years. And so and this is just scratching the surface still, but as she said in the interview, this will be accelerated now. I think that was good to hear, that reporters feel like this will be accelerated because the information has now been turned over and that this won't be dragged on something like the IRS scandal where it's really dragged on for years.
I think that's right. But again, you know, when you look at whether she was Secretary of State or President Obama, the policy that they've implemented to deal with ISIS has been a disaster. We now have the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service saying incoherent, conflicting, and our allies don't even know what we're asking for. And some of our allies have different desires in the region than even we're understanding. And all of this in the interim, you know who's getting killed? The Christians. And this is what has to really stop here, that we have the Christians are the ones being harmed here. So we're going to take your phone calls at 800-684-3110. We've got comments coming in via Twitter, via Periscope, at Jay Sekulow, and also, of course, Facebook mentions as well. So we'll take some of those.
Yes, we got a lot of comments. A couple people came in on Facebook. Robin Johnson just said, Christians make a difference. We need to vote.
Yep.
And also Liz Cash said, why didn't the world learn from what the Jewish people went through?
It is
so much persecution everywhere.
Yeah, it is a similar lack of engagement that we saw in the Holocaust, too. It took a long time for the world to understand the scope and nature of this, but that's the nature of that. We don't have that option, folks. We're giving you the news as it's breaking. And like I said, Libya now, including oil, under ISIS control, significant ports. And when you've got 190 Christians, and let me tell you what, this is hard for people to understand, but I'm telling you. This is from the Daily Caller. The Islamic State has reportedly kidnapped another 160 Christians when they captured a Syrian town late last week. 160 people have been rounded up. This is approximately the number of Christians who remained in this province. The women are being sold into slavery, the men being beheaded and crucified. That's happening right now. And what's the president's response on how to handle that? Listen to number 23.
We're reviewing a range of plans for how we might do that, essentially accelerating the number of Iraqi forces that are properly trained and equipped and have a focused strategy and good leadership. And when a finalized plan is presented to me by the Pentagon, then I will share it with the American people. It's not, we don't yet have a complete strategy because it requires commitments on the part of the Iraqis as well.
No, wait a minute. This was a comment from June 8th of this year. So, Jordan, the president of the United States is saying we still don't have a strategy and a plan on how to deal with this. And he's talking about Iraq. Let me break it to the president. Newsflash. Libya, Syria, Iraq, the region, all being influenced by ISIS. And the president's lack of a coherent plan is causing Christians to lose their lives every day. Jordan?
Well, and we don't even address the, you know, we focus on kind of the worst stories that come out,
yep.
And we don't even address these huge humanitarian crises,
right.
Which are also being created. So by the people who are able to escape ISIS, so they've already gotten away from ISIS or thought to have gotten away. For instance, the latest 160 to 200 Christians who were taken by ISIS had already fled Aleppo in Syria to a Christian monastery area trying to seek some kind of refuge, and ISIS had a list. So similar, as people talked about, to the Nazis coming through a town looking for the Jews, that's how ISIS is searching for Christians, whether they're Catholics, whether they're Syriacs, whether they're,
yep,
Orthodox, they're coming for the Christians. But we also have millions of people who have been displaced. And so we were in Turkey late last year, right around the new year, and there were so many millions of people who have fled the fighting from,
yep,
ISIS just in Istanbul. I mean, you've got, they estimate over a million new people there, and that was almost a year ago. So,
yep,
again, the humanitarian crisis is huge. This is not something that's going to be solved in a day or two or just by airstrikes.
Yeah, I know that, but this is the lack of a coherent policy and plan. We're here for another 30 minutes, folks. SiriusXM, you're getting the full hour. Facebook and Periscope, you get the full hour. ACLJ.org, you get the full hour.
That's right. All you have to do is log on to any of those various ways of getting our show, and pretty much any social media, you can be a part of the show, whether it's through Twitter, get your comments in, through Facebook. All you have to do is go to our page, Jay Sekulow, and you'll see the show live and interact during the breaks. Someone actually just put in on Facebook, they said, on Periscope, said Christians live in an unfair society, one in which they aren't protected, but every other religion seems to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. If this was an attack on other groups, you wonder what the reaction would be. But, you know, we know what's going on here. And as Jordan said, it's 160 reported this week. There could be 560, could be 1,000. We don't know. We know the ones that get reported. We don't know all of them. Folks, we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take more of your calls. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. If you want to learn a lot more about ISIS, and what's going on with the attack on Christians, we have a book called Rise of ISIS. The second edition is out now. We encourage you to get it. In fact, one of these callers, we're going to go ahead and randomly get to some of the callers that have been holding there. We'll get you a copy of the book in a moment. We'll do that during when we take a call. But again, Rise of ISIS. But folks, ACLJ.org for our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. And if you want to sign on to that petition to stand with the persecuted Christians in the Middle East, but also to defund jihadist government regimes and protect Christians, go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I urge you to do it today. Make that call at 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org and add your voice.
That's right. All you have to do if you want to be a part of the show, remember, join us on Facebook Live right now and on Periscope, or give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Easiest way, be a part of the show. We'll be right back. No, I can't stand this
evil anymore. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've been aggressively working in Congress and through our global offices, including in the region, to defend persecuted Christians. We're leading the charge. Send a powerful message to the President and Congress. Stop the genocide of Christians. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We had Catherine Herridge on the broadcast earlier talking about the latest on the Hillary Clinton email scandals, and she is painting not a good picture for the former Secretary of State. We're talking about the situation with ISIS because 160 Christians in Syria have now been either taken captive, sold into sex slavery, beheaded, and killed. This is a very, very significant situation and development. Skip Ash is a senior counsel for the ACLJ National Security Practice Group, but a senior counsel overall at the ACLJ. We're taking your calls also at 800-684-3110. Skip, Jordan mentioned before the break that we're just reporting on the things we know about. Now, we operate in the region. We've got lawyers in the region, and you've been in the region many times. And when you were in the military, you worked this region. We're just reporting what we know. The fact of the matter is the situation is much, much worse. We've heard from Andrew White on this broadcast before. I mean, he's painted that picture. Let's get some of those sound bites, too, for this segment. This is a very desperate situation right now in the greater Middle East.
It really is. And the fact that the United States is withdrawn, that we are showing weakness almost everywhere over there, is an encouragement to those who say, okay, we've got the great Satan on the run. And that allows people to be encouraged. It allows people to come in and join their ranks. And because of projecting weakness, these people think they're winning. And when they think they're winning, they rally to the colors. And the thing that this administration fails to understand is you have to deny them victory after victory. You have to make them eat everything. You have to make them earn every square inch. And once you do that, then people begin to say, okay, this isn't really what I bought into. And we are failing to do that at every point on the map in that region.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. By the way, like I said, Skip, senior counsel for the ACLJ, head of our national security group. We operate in the region at the UN in the Middle East. We're intimately familiar with this. We just had a special program on at Oxford on Turkey. Believe me, we know the region. We're taking your calls and comments. Diane's been holding for a long time. Let's get her a call.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Diane is calling on line four.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
By the way, I am sending you our book, Rise of ISIS. That is our gift for you. You've been holding a long time. We're sending you the book.
Thanks.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Okay, I really don't have a question. I have a comment about, you know, what's happening with the Iranians, the killings and everything that's going on. I understand because I'm going through it myself. Been going through it since, what, 97?
Yep.
Was kidnapped, took out of state. Attacked the whole nine yards.
Well, this is happening. You have to, and Diane, this is happening, and I just said this, every single day in Syria and Iraq, wherever ICE is operating, now Libya. I mean, the kidnapping, women are kidnapped. This is what happens. The women are kidnapped and sold into slavery generally, and that includes young girls. The males are usually, Skip, beheaded or crucified. That seems to be their modus operandi. That's what's going on in the region.
That's right. They're doing this because of the shock factor. But we have to recognize who these people are. I mean, these are degenerates in their – they're justifying what they're doing based on their religious philosophy. They're saying their God is compelling them and requires that and is approving of what they're doing. It's time for the Muslims in that area of the world who disagree with this to stop being ambivalent and to stand up and to condemn this for what it is. If they began to do that, I think it would begin to impede – some of the people flocking to the colors.
Yep.
But right now, too many Muslims in the area are ambivalent about this and are just remaining silent in the face of all this.
We've got a lot of comments coming in by the phones. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We also have got a lot of comments coming in via Periscope and Facebook. And by the way, folks on Periscope and Facebook, share this with your friends. That's a really important thing to do. Share it with your friends. We come back from the break. I'm going to take your phone calls. We're going to take your comments. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Logan's going to let you know how you sign that petition.
Okay, to sign the petition, all you have to do is give us a phone call, 1-877-989-2255, or visit aclj.org. If you have an iPhone or an Apple device, download the ACLJ app. It's the easiest way to sign the petitions. All right, we're still live on Facebook and Periscope. One person just put in, I wish every talk show used Facebook as well as we do. Well, thank you very much for that. Join us now, and you can be part of the conversation. Thousands of people around the country and around the world.
I
ISIS, the Islamic State, is brutal beyond words. It's beheading, raping, and selling Christians. Hundreds of thousands of Christians have been forced to flee or die, to abandon their lives or allow their children to be sold as sex slaves. For more than a year now, the Islamic State's jihadist army has been on a bloody rampage, profiting from genocide and tracking down Christians for sale and slaughter. ISIS kidnaps Christians and massacres them. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've been aggressively working in Congress and through our global offices, including in the region, to defend persecuted Christians. We're leading the charge. Send a powerful message to the President and Congress. Stop the genocide of Christians. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Broadcast, everyone. I know some of you last night joined us on our Jay Sekulow band rehearsal, and we didn't play Hold Your Head Up, which you just heard a little bit of, but we are going to play that again in an upcoming one. And the song Where I Stand, which we played a couple of times in some of the bumpers here, we're going to be definitely doing that one next week as well. All right, let's go right back to the phones. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 800-684-3110. You could also do it via Periscope, via Facebook mentions, and via Twitter at Jay Sekulow. Skip Ash is with us. He's in our studio at the campus of Regent University School of Law in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and Logan's with me in our media center. Let's go right to the phones.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. Ted in Georgia, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted.
Yeah, so the Christian atrocities are sickening to me.
Yep.
I mean, it's horrific. But let me ask you guys, the last two presidents, it seemed like our foreign policy is to take out these secular dictators, like, you know, Iraq, you had Hussein, you have Gaddafi in Libya, the neocons want to take out Assad in Syria. All these secular dictators, they protect the Christians pretty much.
Yeah, they did.
Part. So what is our foreign policy responsibility if we did that?
Yeah, so this raises a question that I think a lot of people, Skip, are thinking through, and a lot of people in foreign policy. And, Ted, you raise an interesting question, and that is you had these secular dictators, and not that they were great people by any stretch of the imagination, but they've been replaced with something generally much worse. And it's kind of the devil you know versus the one you do not. What is your sense of that? And you know, I call it, you know, which the Middle East, Jeffersonian constitutional republics don't tend to work out very well. But what is your sense about this? I think Ted raises a really good question about a foreign policy situation. You take out these secular dictators and you end up with a Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And now they finally got replaced. But this is an ongoing problem.
It is an ongoing problem. You're exactly right. Democracy is not going to take hold in that area because they don't have the background. They don't have the culture for that. With respect to Saddam Hussein, for instance, though, we knew that he had weapons of mass destruction,
right.
And we knew that he had used them on his own people and on the Iranians. So when it came, when the entire world's intelligence system said he's got them and he's ready to use them and he's ready to give them to terrorists, the president acted on that information. It turned out to be wrong. And there are some unintended consequences when these things happen, but there are sometimes a person is faced, the president is faced with a problem that he's got to deal with right then, and he can't anticipate every possible thing. So I empathize with what Ted's saying. I agree with it. The problem is sometimes you've got to deal with a problem that's right exactly. in your face now, and you can't put it off because you don't know what's going to happen. And you may, in the case of the weapons of mass destruction that Iraq had had, you may end up having them used on your forces or using on yeah. an ally or anything else. You've got to take action sometimes.
Yeah, these are very complex situations, and believe me, we're looking at it from a policy perspective here as well. We're taking your we're taking your phone calls, of course, at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're also taking comments via Twitter, at Jay Sekulo, via Periscope, at Jay Sekulo, and by Facebook mentions. Over 5,000 people watching on Facebook mentions and growing as the hour continues here. And I'm sure we've had thousands of people in the conversation from all over the world today, Logan.
That's right. From China, Israel, everyone's checking in today. All over from both coasts. Everyone is watching on Facebook and on Periscope. We got an interesting comment, and one that a lot of people are curious about. We've had a few comments ask about this. I'm glad we can get to it. One person asked on Periscope, but it was again featured on Facebook multiple times. Do you think that ISIS is in America?
I do. I think that there are – we know they've recruited from the United States, and I think we would be naive to think if they were not. I think what happened in Chattanooga, Tennessee – if not ISIS itself, was ISIS-inspired, Skip. And I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that everything is not going to be airplanes into buildings, that these attacks like we saw in Chattanooga just a few weeks ago are these ISIS kind of inspired events. And we know this guy was reading ISIS materials.
Absolutely. We, you know, they're not going to carry an ID card saying I'm a member of ISIS.
Right.
But they will adapt and they will adopt this philosophy. And once they're there, they're willing to cause trouble wherever they go. And
yeah.
I'm convinced you're exactly right. There are agents in this country that have that philosophy, and given the opportunity, they will strike. So we need to be very vigilant in how we deal with these folks.
Yeah, we've got a very interesting comment coming in via Facebook mention, Logan's.
That's right. Facebook, Joey from Facebook said, President Obama wants to destabilize Middle East countries and allow the Muslim Brotherhood to take over. Look at Egypt.
Well, it's exactly what's happened. Whether he wanted to do it or not, he has destabilized the region, and we're paying the consequence of that right now. That's just the reality of the public situation right now, that is the reality of what we've got, and we just have to deal with that. All right, let's take another call.
All right, we got some comments. We got some first-time people joining us on Facebook, first time they've ever heard the show, so that's how the word gets out there. Make sure to share it all with
your friends. Folks.
Share it on your social media accounts. Even if you're not watching it live, make sure to go share it later. It really helps us out. But we'll continue with the calls. Let's go to Patrick, who's calling on line three.
All right, Patrick, you've been on the phone call for – you've been holding for a while, so I'm going to send you our book, Undemocratic. When you're done with talking with us, we're going to go ahead and send you Undemocratic as our gift. But go ahead with your comment.
With your legal credentials,
yep.
something that can be done right away, don't you think that you should write a letter to every Secretary of State requesting them to remove Hillary Clinton from the ballot for president – Amendment 14, Section 2, which
says... the disqualification clause. Here's the situation, though. There is a really serious investigation that's going to take place. And I think you heard it from Catherine Herridge, Patrick. This is a serious investigation now. And this server, for everybody that's just joining us late, was maintained in the bathroom of a residential apartment in Colorado. Forgetting the presidential side of this, Patrick, let's talk about the national security risk here. I mean, Skip, to me, this is unconscionable, unthinkable, lack of judgment. I think, you know, forgetting the political side of this, because there are going to be serious consequences there, legally, this is absurd that this is not already a criminal investigation.
Absolutely. It is impossible to believe. She has been around. The leadership in this country as a senator, as the wife of the president of the United States, as the Secretary of State, she is aware of the sensitivity of information
yep.
that is circulated at those levels at all times. And yet she had exercised such a lack of judgment to have this information unsecured and so forth. She has, in my view, disqualified herself from being a serious candidate. But that's my view. But with respect to this idea of disqualification, she has not disqualified herself legally yet because she hasn't been tried and convicted of anything. So she's innocent until proven guilty, assuming there would be any type of criminal activity. But just somebody looking, say, do we really want this person at the head of our country since she has been so lackadaisical about security in her past positions?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a real serious situation, and We're demanding that the FBI take appropriate action. Let's take another call or comment.
We got a comment from Pamela on Facebook. She said, how does ISIS get to our people here in the U.S.? And how are they doing recruiting?
They are very sophisticated. What was the number of social media posts and tweets they sent? It's in the tens of thousands a day. I mean, tens of thousands a day. And we just saw that there was a recruiting attempt out of Mississippi with a man and a woman. I mean, they are very aggressive in their recruiting. There's no doubt about it. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
That's right. John's calling on line five. John, thanks for holding.
Hey, John, I'm sending you, by the way, our book, Rise of ISIS. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I was born and raised part of my life in the Middle East.
Yes, sir.
And basically, when we mentioned people that has been crucified and brutally killed by ISIS,
yep,
I think we don't only have to include Christians. We also have to include every single innocent person, because believe me or not, they're killing more Muslims than Christians. They're killing Kurdish and they're killing Turkish as well. If you have noticed in the last news, they pumped in few Turkish innocent people over there. And also the whole crisis in Syria was the system, the regime over there. Like 2 days ago, they pumped the market, which is full of children.
Well, we have said on this broadcast, we have said that they have killed a lot of Muslims. They've eliminated the Jewish community in the Middle East, basically has fled the entire region. But the fact of the matter is they have killed a lot of Muslims. They've killed a lot of Christians. They killed, look, the Jordanian pilot they killed was Muslim. Remember that horrific act? So they are indiscriminate in one sense, but they have done an unbelievably, horridly effective job of eliminating Christianity in places where Christianity started. And that's one of the horrible ironies of the situation. And that's why, folks, we're mobilizing people around the globe at ACLJ.org and 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to these petitions. But you're absolutely right, John. They have killed Muslims, they have killed Kurds, they've killed Turks, and they've killed Christians and Jews. No doubt about it. Folks, we're taking a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to take more of your calls. Again, Logan's going to tell you to sign the petition or go to ACLJ.org to take some action.
That's right. If you want to sign the petition, be a part of this movement, give us a call, 1-877-989-2255. We'll get you on the petition, or go to ACLJ.org. We're broadcasting our final segment coming up on all of our social media accounts. Find us on Facebook and on Periscope. Right now, get your questions in. We'll be right back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. ISIS, the Islamic State, is brutal beyond words. It's beheading, raping, and selling Christians. Hundreds of thousands of Christians have been forced to flee or die, to abandon their lives or allow their children to be sold as sex slaves. For more than a year now, the Islamic State's jihadist army has been on a bloody rampage, profiting from genocide and tracking down Christians for sale and slaughter. ISIS kidnaps Christians and massacres them. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've been aggressively working in Congress and through our global offices, including in the region, to defend persecuted Christians. We're leading the charge. Send a powerful message to the President and Congress. Stop the genocide of Christians. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got 160 Christians in Syria captured by the Islamic State. And by the way, that's just what we know about this week. This was the remaining Christians in a particular province in Syria. We also know that ISIS has now moved into Libya aggressively, including controlling oil in one of the ports. And the Congressional Research Service has called the U.S. response to fighting the Islamic State as disorganized and incoherent. So there you have it. This is a very troubling situation, and we're going to get right back to our phones in a moment here. But, Skip, let me ask you this from a military perspective. You served as a colonel in the United States Army. You served in the Pentagon. This, when you've got the Congressional Research Service calling it an incoherent, disorganized, you got the president just in June saying, hey, we're still working on plans. It's hard for me to believe that the Pentagon does not have a plan to deal with ISIS. I just don't believe that.
I think you're exactly right. The Pentagon will have plenty of plans. It's the problem is the senior civilian leadership does not either want to commit the funds or the troops or the time necessary to accomplish the mission. It takes time to actually do things, and it takes money and resources to do things. The military knows how to do this, and I think they're probably being placed in a vice and saying, no, you can't do it that way. No, you can't do it this way. You know, I want it this way. The president seems to want to accomplish everything with nothing, and that's where the problem is.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly correct, and we're paying the consequence of that.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Let's see who's calling for our last few calls of the day. Alex is calling on, I'm sorry, Mario. Mario is calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Yes, shalom to you and everybody else.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for helping Christian like me. And I wanted to ask you, please, Mr. G, any updates on Pastor Saeed and the rest of the people?
Well, Mario, I said this on the broadcast yesterday. We're in a very, very difficult spot right now. There's no good news on the report for Saeed Abedini, for Amir Hakmani, for Robert Levinson, or Jason Rezaian. Jason's trial took place again last week in Iran. The State Department news has not been helpful or encouraging. We are looking right now at a very aggressive plan that we're putting in place, regardless of the State Department right now, at the United Nations in the middle of September. And those plans are being developed by our office in Washington, D.C. Right now. Skip is involved in that. I'm involved in it. Tiffany Behrens from our office is involved in it. So we're going to make another major play. And the department, look, the Washington Post is, and their foreign editor went to the TVs and said they're demanding the release of Jason Rezaian. I mean, they really want this done. This is what Douglas Steel said just the other day.
We want Jason released. We believe all Americans should be released now. And while the White House and the U.S. government have said a lot publicly about these Americans, we think it helps when they say more, and we'd like to hear that as often as possible.
And he's absolutely correct. We're not hearing that enough. And I think we're losing leverage with the United States and Iran. But can you believe, folks, that the United States has not been able to negotiate the release of these Americans? I mean, Skip, this in and of itself is unbelievable. I'd like to get some comments on Facebook on this and Periscope. Let us know your comments. Logan will get to some of those. Why in the world has the United States not been able to negotiate the release of these Americans when we're weeks away from a deal being cut with the Iranians that the president said he's going to override the veto or he's going to veto the both the Republicans and Democrats that are saying no to the deal? He's going to veto it, and I don't know if the votes are going to be there to override it, and yet the Americans are not released. It's unthinkable.
It's inexplicable to me, and I'll tell you why. Because we actually let some people go that the Iranians had asked for as a sign of good faith, and yet they won't do it for us. This is a prime example of the weakness being exhibited by this administration, and we're being taken to the cleaners by the Iranians. Remember, they invented chess. And they are so far beyond us in anticipating moves that we are being taken advantage of left and right. And this administration looks like it's the Keystone Cops.
Yeah, it's a horrific situation. Are we getting comments on Facebook and Periscope on this? Because I know
definitely a lot on Periscope. Obviously, a lot of people in the same feeling, saying that this obviously is the president. They think it's the administration's problem. And I think that's the overall consensus of a social media right now, and I think that's the truth. We're going to go back to the phones to try to get the last few calls. Let's go to Alex, who's calling California.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Jay.
You're on the air.
Okay, great. I am a Syrian American.
Yep. Great.
And I come from the community of Turlock, California, where there's a community of up to 10,000 Assyrians living there.
Great.
And what my comments are is that, yes, this administration is very hostile to Christians. And it's hard because I don't think that people realize that there's an Assyrian community here in the United States that needs help. You know, they need Americans to reach out because there's in the, okay, for instance, in this community of Turlock, there's no Muslims in Turlock. Okay, to speak of, there's no Muslim community yet. We've been brought to our attention that there's been a mosque that is starting to be put in there.
Yeah, that's happening all over the United States, Alex. Even where there's not Muslim communities, it's part of
like, but why Turlock of all places?
You know, well, you've got a large Assyrian community. That's why.
Intimidation factor.
Sure.
And they've got a big banner up there that says Turlock Islamic Center.
Right.
And they're targeting English-speaking people. So it's a recruitment effort, and they're not even from Turlock. They're from outside. The guy who set it up is from New York originally.
Let me play for you Canon Andrew White, who is the vicar of Baghdad, was the vicar of Baghdad for the Anglican Church in England. Let me play 19.
What I really want to get across to the Christians around the world is don't forget us. We're your brothers and sisters. I say to you, please don't leave us. We need you.
And I think that sentiment, Alex, can go for the rest of the world as well. What's the reaction of the Assyrian community in Turlock?
Well, they're feeling a little bit like their hands are tied.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of Assyrians from these persecuted countries. You know, they have relatives that are being persecuted right now. They're in Modesto, there's a family that their cousins and relatives and sisters were kidnapped by ISIS. They're part of that whole kidnapping.
Right.
So they feel like, oh, they have rights to be here, but on the other hand, we can't tell them. But you could tell them to take the sign down, you know?
It raises all kind of First Amendment issues, but the theological issue is that it's a statement by the Muslim community. And not all Muslims, by the way, but certainly there is this tendency. We are really running out of time, but we're going to get Mary's call from Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary. I heard that there are a lot of Muslims being moved into like Section 8 housing, things like that, where they don't have to really assimilate into the community, and they can keep their own little cultures.
Correct.
I don't understand why they're able to do that. Why are they
because
not?
Because that's the government policy. The government policy has been saying to do that, and they're not. There is no longer this desire to meld the melting pot of America doesn't work anymore for these groups, especially not all in the Muslim community, but many. And this is part and parcel of an administration that is full of political correctness. Hey, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. I want to thank our Facebook mentions folks, our friends on Periscope, those of you listening on SiriusXM and around the country on the radio stations. It's been great having you. We've got a petition up to stop funding these foreign governments that are supporting the jihadists and start protecting the Christians and others that are being persecuted. You can add your name there at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. And also, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign, which means any amount you donate to us, we're getting a matching gift for. So you could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org or again, 1-877-989-2255. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've been aggressively working in Congress and through our global offices, including in the region, to defend persecuted Christians. We're leading the charge. Send a powerful message to the President and Congress. Stop the genocide of Christians. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.